Masechet Kelim Perek Zayin Mishnah Gimel. Here we'll talk about a kirah. A kirah is a stovetop where two pots were placed in the holes on top. There were two holes on top, and a fire was lit under it, and it would cook the pots that were on top. We'll talk about it in the context of a kirah that was split in half. Mishnah says, kirah shenechleka leorka tehora. Kirah that was divided along its length is tahor. If it was split from top to bottom along the length, here in that scenario, it would mean that both holes have been split into two, and now it's no longer usable to support the pots. Even though it has two holes on top, each one of them now is divided. Each hole is now only half of a hole. It's not together, and therefore it doesn't have the ability to hold onto a pot anymore, so they're no longer usable as a kirah. And therefore, they're pure, they're tahor. If it was tameh beforehand, it becomes pure. And for sure, it cannot become tameh afterwards. Ul rohba tameh. But if it was divided along its width, so now the split is between the two holes. So each hole on top is still intact. Therefore, it's still tameh. It's still considered to be a utensil. It could become tameh because half of it now, it's two halves, it means the kirah could still be used to cook one pot each. They're split into two, so now it becomes like a kupah. Each one of them, the hole is intact, and it could still cook. Even though now it's more open, so it can't retain much heat, if the fire was directly below the area of the hole and there's a pot on top, it still could cook it. Kupah, shenechlak, ben leorko, ben lerochbo, tahor, kupah. That was divided into two, whether it was now divided along its length or its width, is tahor. A kupach only has one hole. And therefore, when it's split, automatically the kupach is divided and therefore no longer usable whatsoever. So it remains tahor. It can never become tameh. Sometimes they would make a kirah with a base underneath, which was wider than the kirah itself. It was a flat base that had a rim around it and looked like a pan that was placed underneath the kirah. The kirah was sometimes created or manufactured with this base, this pan built into it, and they were actually one item. This is called the Hatser HaKirah, the courtyard of the kirah. Here we'll talk about this piece in the context of the tum'ah or not. Mishnah says, Hatser HaKirah, the earthenware courtyard, we're calling it, this pan that was created together with the kirah. Bizman shehi gevoha shalosh etzpaot metamea bemaga uba'avir. When the rim is 3 fingers high, it has a minimum height of a kirah, we treat it like the kirah, and therefore becomes tameh through direct contact with something tameh, and also if something tameh enters its airspace, if something tameh touches any part of the inside of the courtyard, or it enters the airspace without touching it, it becomes tameh. Becomes tameh, and the kirah would become tameh as well. And if the kirah becomes tameh, the courtyard, this pan, becomes tameh with it. Pehuta mikan. If the rim of the courtyard is less, pehotamikar, if it's less than this height, then the airspace is not considered to be significant enough. It doesn't have the deen, doesn't have the law of a kirah, and it does not become tameh in its own right, even through contact. Betameah bimaga. But if the kirah itself becomes tameh, then the courtyard becomes tameh as well with it, and it transmits tum'ah through direct contact, but it does not transmit tum'ah through its airspace. Even though in this case, where it's less than 3 etzba'ot, the courtyard cannot become tameh on its own. It's considered to be like a handle for the kirah, and the handle for any type of utensil becomes tameh when the utensil becomes tameh, but it transmits tum'ah only through contact, not through airspace. We said the courtyard becomes tameh through its airspace when the rim is 3 fingers high. The airspace is the space between the rim and the kirah itself. Here we'll talk about how much of that airspace is considered to be the airspace of the courtyard. In other words, you have the kirah that's directly in the middle of this pan. What's considered to be the airspace of the courtyard, of this pan, and what's not considered to be that its airspace. It's a little difficult to measure because you have the kira, which is higher than the courtyard. Ketzad misharin ota. How do we measure the airspace of the courtyard? The wall of the kira is higher than the rim of the courtyard. So how do we measure? Do we measure the airspace by the height of the kira or by the height of the rim? Rabbi Shmuel omer noten et hashepud milimalan lematan ukenegdo metamea ba'avir. Says Rabbi Shmuel, you take a spit down on a slant from above to below, from the top of the kira to the top of the rim. You make it go downward, and the entire area below the spit facing the kira would bring tum'ah to the courtyard through its airspace. You take like a kebab. You take a spit, this type of metal object that would usually you'd put over like a rotisserie, and you'd put a big piece of meat on it, and you again lean it on the top of the kira, and then it goes on to the courtyard, and whatever's under that is considered to be the airspace, and things become tameh if they enter that airspace. According to the Tanakh Kama, when the courtyard becomes tameh on its own, the kira becomes tameh as well. So obviously, when the kira becomes tameh, the courtyard becomes tameh with it as well. Now we'll say a different opinion. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer, nitmet hakira, nitmet hatzer. Says Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, when the kira becomes tameh, the courtyard becomes tameh with it because the courtyard is tafel. It's secondary to the kira. Nitmet hatzer, lo nitmet hakira. But if the courtyard becomes tameh, the kira does not become tameh because the kira is not tafel. It's not secondary to the courtyard.